Ladies and gentlemen, this is Killer Cross. Please do not notify the police. Your signal has been interrupted. You are now listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Tuck your chin, please, sir. Thank you.
Wow, what a fantastic gift.
I realize the title of your show, Rock and Wrestling Local 420, and I'm going to take that idea and go extreme.
Alrighty then, this is Phil Nershey of the Spring Cheese Incident coming to you from up in the Windy Mountain. I'm here joining Cosmic Chris on the Rock and Wrestling Local 420.
This is the big ugly J.D. Bishop, and if you're not listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420, you must be stupid!
Hey dear radio buddies, it's me, Max Volume. You are listening to Rock and Wrestling and Local 420 with Cosmic Chris.
Hey, this is Chad of the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling Podcast. When you're done listening to my show, head on over and listen to the Rock and Wrestling Local 420, and I guarantee you will not be disappointed.
Hey folks, I got a name for you, one of your greatest podcasts in podcast alive today. They don't call you a great podcast. They call you Rock and Wrestling in Local 420. Beat it if you can.
Hey, what's up, my peeps? Okay, so I want to apologize first for last week's opening, because I don't know if I was super stoned or what. I said episode 144 when it was really episode 145, because this is episode 146 of Rock and Wrestling Local 420. So there's not a whole hell of a lot of headlines in the music industry. There is a few things I'm going to talk about here in a little bit. But basically, just to start off, I've had an interesting week, let me tell you. I've literally run into two different people that I haven't seen in like 25 years that were both really good friends. One was a friend of my grandma's, that was kind of really cool. And the other is a friend from junior high and high school. And I don't know, it's just really cool because I've had an interesting week. We had a get together with my one friend's mom. I had a friend, now before I moved back to Reno, there were family issues that I was trying to come back, and I missed Reno. And then one of them was my friend, who is hopefully going to be my new co-host, Chad. He had told me that a mutual friend of ours had killed himself. And there's been a lot of suicide in my family and my friends. Like, you know, I suffer from depression and suicidal tendencies. So all I can really say is, if you're suffering, get help. There is help out there. Talk to somebody. You know, there's always someone to talk to. But his mom, my buddy that killed himself, his mom gets get together every year or so with other friends of her sons. And so that was kind of cool. I went, and right after I saw one of my friends that I hadn't seen in a long time, I go to her house to see another friend of mine that I hadn't seen since high school. And that was really cool. So three friends, actually, that I haven't seen in 20, 25 years. So within a 48-hour period. So that was kind of interesting. But I also have been having issues with, again, Podomatic. And this is funny because by the time this episode comes out, I don't know what's going to happen, because in the morning, I'm going to leave a very nasty message on Podomatic's answering service, because now I told you a few weeks ago one of my episodes got pulled because of the Rage Against the Machine song Bulls on Parade early January. Okay, well, they, you know, Podomatic pulled one of my episodes, and I had to do my due diligence and figure out what's going on. And I'm thinking it's over with. Well, now iTunes has said something about the same exact episode. Now, here's my issue. If the episode was pulled because I go through Podomatic, I don't upload to iTunes. Anything I upload on Podomatic is automatically uploaded on iTunes. I shouldn't have to upload it or download, reload, take down, whatever. So I'm just like astonished because I'm like, how can this happen on iTunes? If the episode was pulled down on Podomatic, then the episode's pulled down from anywhere, I would think. So that's kind of a piss me off kind of thing. Now, also, I'm trying to upload on YouTube every week, and every week something is something is something. So I've changed my DDP yoga ad. I've changed everything. I've changed my whole intro. I'm trying to do this as best as possible so I could try monetizing my shit. And now, for the first time, pardon me, they flagged George Carlin. I've never had a problem with any of the George Carlin. Now all of a sudden they flagged George Carlin on YouTube, so I don't know. So this show is definitely going to be going through changes. I hope you can stick with me. I'm really gaining some momentum now with listeners and followers on Instagram and all this stuff. And it's really like making me have a lot more confidence now. But at the same time, it's pissing me off because it's like, right, I change everything and every single week it's something new. So I'm like, by the time I'm recording this right now, I'm still not even sure I'm going to play George Carlin for the first time in 3 years, you know? So I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss, but I am going to rant. I am going to bitch and moan because that's what I do, because that's what you like listening to. So, I don't know. So, let's get into some music headlines real quick. Let's see what's going on. Overkill is hard at work on new album, says Jason Bittner. That's cool. I'd like to hear some new music from Overkill. Also, former Lamb of God drummer Chris Adler is celebrity judge on Banger TV's Shredders of Metal video. So, this must be a new show, I guess, that Sam Dunn produces, because that's who's behind Banger TV. And I've never seen it, so I got to do more investigating to find the show. So I don't know if it's a streaming only or how you get it, but that's kind of cool. Let's see, what else do we got here? We also got, speaking of Overkill, ex-Overkill guitarist Bobby Gustafson apparently addresses a James Hetfield look-alike accusation, and he's talking about the guitar and the wristbands and all that stuff, and he said that was the sign of the times, and, you know, in the late 80s, because this is all goes back to the Elimination video, which I hadn't even seen in a long time, but now I look at this, I mean, I guess he does kind of look like James Hetfield because of that guitar, but he said James Hetfield actually recommended the guitar to him, so I don't know. I'm not even going to get into this. That's just weird. That's just like the whole Chris Jericho Sebastian Bach thing. It's just more weird publicity and weird shit. So let's see here. Okay, now you really got me, because I think this is fucking hilarious. I don't know if Corey Taylor and Kanye are friends, but Corey Taylor has offered some surprising words of support to Kanye West, whose behavior in recent weeks has been increasingly erratic. West announced that he was running for president, and he delivered a lengthy monologue at a campaign event, and then a couple weeks later, he's not running for president. So, like I said, I don't know if he's friends with Corey Taylor or what, but apparently Corey Taylor feels bad for Kanye West. So, let's see. There's a video for Jane's Addiction performing during the new Lollapalooza live stream. Let's see here. Which I'm not really going to watch yet, but this I find cool. Alcatraz has put out a new music video for Born Innocent. It's like the first Alcatraz album in, what, 35 years? Like, 85? Like, I don't know. I just think it's fucking hilarious. So, it's Graham Bonnet, of course, so, you know, that's kind of cool, but, you know, it's definitely not Yngwie. I don't know. I'd like to hear more from Alcatraz, if you ask me, because I liked Alcatraz. Also, there's been allegations. Now, I'm going to say there's a couple of allegations I thought was weird. Today, I watched a video from, I'm having another brain fart, but the guy that played Coach Melner in the Goldbergs and Schooled. Everyone knows him. I mean, he's in everything under the sun. He's a great guy. I'm just, like I said, having a brain fart right now. But somebody has said some about allegations against him, and he publicly is like, you know what? Fuck this, dude. I'm going to deny this shit straight up on social media. Because, you know, if you are innocent of some... Because he even said, I shouldn't have to defend myself, but I am. Fuck this. This shit never happened. I don't even know what the fuck's going on. And so that was cool. But also, a Day to Remember bassist has released a statement on allegations against him too. So I really don't know what's up, but this Me Too movement is obviously still going. So 39 years ago, Iron Maiden introduced metal to MTV. Now we're just getting over Jerry Garcia's birthday, Joe Elliott's birthday, Chuck D's birthday, all on August 1st. So that's pretty fucking cool. So happy birthday to, you know, Jerry, Chuck, and who else did I say? Oh, yeah, Joe Elliott. So the first 10 videos, or the 10 videos, well, number 15 was Iron Maiden, Iron Maiden. And number 35 was Wrathchild by Iron Maiden, which is their second album. But still... it was 39 years ago on August 1st, when MTV first came on, August 1st, 1981, that Iron Maiden introduced metal to MTV. I think that's cool. I remember a lot. I remember the first 10 videos. I remember Buggles and all that stuff, Video Killed the Radio Star. So there are songs I remember being the first 10 or 15, but it's kind of nice to remember the fact that Iron Maiden was the first metal band to ever be on MTV. Let's see what else we got. Okay, so one last thing. I am just finding out about this. I thought this was weird. Thursday night, July 30th, Ray Burton, the late father of Metallica legend Cliff Burton, was immortalized in the crowd at a San Francisco Giants game. He appeared in the stands in the form of a cardboard cutout, which the Giants have allowed fans to purchase in place of a live audience. But real quick on that, this cardboard cutout thing is about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Now, how they should be doing this is they should be using the cardboard cutouts, like three or four, and then you put two or three seats, you know, of a guy wants to come with his kids or something like that. And then three or four more cutouts, and then, you know, a couple more seats. And then that's how they should, if they want us to get over this shit, they need to allow certain shit. And if they're going to do that, they should allow. If there's social distancing, you can do it with a mask, temperature checks, whatever. You can allow people to watch baseball. So that's what I have to say about that. I think this is fucked that they're just putting a bunch of cardboard cutouts out there. They can use cardboard cutouts and then space out seats for real live audience members is what I think. So getting back to that. A photo of player Jalen Davis at first base was posted on Burton's Instagram where you can see Burton smiling in the background. Thank you at SF Giants for including Ray Burton in your opening home game cutouts. The caption reads, Ray loved the Giants. Thank you, Tim Healy, for capturing this screenshot. I just think that's kind of cool. If they are going to put cutouts of, like, people that loved the game. Like, you know, Ray Burton was a diehard Giants fan. That's cool. San Francisco, Cliff Burton, you know, I think that's cool. You know, just, you know, like I said, I'm not going to get back into the cardboard cutouts because, like I said, I just told you what I thought about that. But I think it's cool that they immortalized Ray Burton at a Giants game. So, all right, let's take a pause for the cause real quick and come back, and I'll talk some wrestling with you guys. All right.
Hey, this is Kevin Kleinrock from Masked Republic and the Keeping It 100 with Conan podcast, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Make sure you tune in every week.
Hey, it's Pat Kelly of the West Coast Wrestling Connection and the Golf Guys Radio Show, and you're listening to my buddy, Cosmic Chris, Rock and Wrestling Local 420.
This is Hotshot Danny Duggan, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420.
Hey, folks, let me tell you about DDP Yoga. At a time in my life, not so long ago, I was suffering from Hep C as well as diabetes and well over 300 pounds. And a friend of mine sent me a YouTube video of this man, Arthur Borman. He was a paratrooper that had been told he would never walk again without the use of crutches. He gave DDP yoga a try and is now one of DDP's leading success stories, as well as helping such people as Scott Hall, Chris Jericho, Gabriel Iglesias, Corey Taylor, Jake the Snake Roberts, Stevie Richards, and countless others. Diamond Dallas Page originally developed DDP Yoga for athletes such as himself who had suffered years of injury due to high-impact sports. When he ruptured his L4 and L5 spinal discs during the height of his professional wrestling career, he was so desperate to keep his childhood dream alive that he was willing to try anything. So he tried yoga for the first time. I know firsthand the benefits that DDP Yoga has to offer. Because Dallas had experience in many forms of fitness, he quickly learned how different yoga was from other traditional workouts. Soon, he started mixing elements of yoga with his rehab as well as traditional workout principles. For almost a decade, he has refined his program and has become a master at teaching it to others. DDP has saved my life. I encourage you to buy the discs as I have. Go to ddpyoga.com or you can download the DDP Yoga Now app. You can do it anywhere you want. He has cooking segments, live daily workout segments. I encourage you to check it out. Start living a healthier life. And hey, this ain't your mama's yoga.
Well, hey, we are back. So, before I get into some wrestling, there's a lot of talk with season 3 of Cobra Kai, and, you know, hopefully Sean Kanan will come back, and hopefully Elizabeth Shue will come back. I would like to see both of those people come back. I mean, I'd like to see Terry Silver come back, if that's the case. I don't know the actor's name, that's why I didn't, you know. But, I think that would be cool because I love Cobra Kai. That is a show I am down with. Just like The Mandalorian. Mandalorian was a good show too. But, no, you know what I still loved? Star Trek Discovery. I haven't seen shit about that. Every time I check, they talk about season 3, but I haven't heard nothing about it. So, either way. So, 1 week removed from taking out Big Show with a ruthless punt kick, the Viper kicked off Raw by declaring that he will do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and no one can stop him. However, Randy Orton has felt like something is missing. He wants to be WWE champion again. We didn't see that coming. Standing in his way, though, is Drew McIntyre, whom he challenged to the title showdown at SummerSlam. Wow, what an opening there. Next up, Nia Jax attempts to air her grievances regarding the Raw Women's Championship picture until the Queen of Spades sets her off. Catch WWE action on the WWE Network, Fox USA Network, Sony India, and more. So, as Orton made his way to the backstage area, Nia Jax stormed past him to the ring, ready to air her grievances with the Raw Women's title match and her lack of involvement. But before the irresistible force could utter another word, Shayna Baszler arrives and stepped right up to Jax. That set off a brawl that needed nearly every referee in the building to pull the two fierce superstars apart. Let's see here. Also, we got Raw Street Champions, the Street Profits, sitting ringside to scout the competition. Three of the Red Brand's toughest tag teams squared off for the right to challenge the title holders at SummerSlam. At the apex of the fray, Ivar took out his own partner Eric, Ricochet, and Alexander, allowing Garza to hit the Wing Clipper on Alexander for the victory. Andrade and Garza did not wait long to fire the first shot at the champions, ambushing Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford at the announcer's desk. After their confrontation earlier in the evening, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler were scheduled to go one-on-one. However, the ring could not contain their fury, resulting in a double countout as two superstars brawled around ringside. Not even security, referees, or WWE officials could stop the rampage as Jax and Baszler disposed of them in ruthless fashion. Let's see. As Monday Night Messiah attempted to include his crusade for the greater good, he called Dominic Mysterio to the ring. Rey Mysterio's son, who was out of Raw to confront Seth Rollins, obliged, but immediately tackled the Monday Night Messiah. The brash attack did not end well for Dominic, as Rollins and his disciple Murphy turned the tables on him, repeatedly tossing him into the ring barricades. But as Rollins contemplated his next move, Aleister Black came to the rescue after an arm injury that he suffered last week. The Dutch Destroyer was overwhelmed by Rollins and Murphy. What happened next week was despicable. Rollins stomped Black and told Murphy he knows what he has to do. Murphy subjected Black to the same sacrifice Rey Mysterio endured months ago, pressing Black's eye into the steel ring steps. But before any more damage could be done, Dominic regrouped and chased off Rollins and Murphy with a series of kendo stick strikes. Wow. Let's see. Ahead of Mustafa's Ali's battle with Bobby Lashley, MVP tried to recruit the returning superstar into the Hurt Business. Despite MVP's pleading, Ali was not hearing any of it. And while MVP tried to convince Ali that he was making the wrong decision, R-Truth crashed the scene in hopes of reclaiming the 24/7 championship from Shelton Benjamin, but came up short. Mustafa Ali tried to capitalize on the successful return in this battle with the Almighty. And while distractions from Akira Tozawa and his ninjas to the death throne Benjamin took Lashley off the ball momentarily, it was not enough to give Ali an opening for victory. The Almighty exerted his will, applying his vicious full Nelson to get the win. Wow. So let's see here. The rules were clear in this bout. Raw Women's Championship could change hands by pinfall. So up next, we got the whole NXT Women's Championship match. So this is Bayley brutally attacked Kairi Sane backstage, forcing Asuka to make a full decision. So basically, they're going to turn Asuka and fucking Kairi Sane into babyfaces. So stay and defend her title or abandon the match and save her best friend. The Empress of Tomorrow opted to rush to her friend and tag team partner's side, taking the count out loss. Asuka's decision ensured that the boss would become two belt banks as her Bayley's grip around Raw and SmackDown continued to tighten. So, all right. After being stomped into the steel steps by Seth Rollins, Humberto Carrillo was out for payback on the Monday Night Messiah's Disciple. But after inflicting unspeakable punishment on Aleister Black earlier in the night, Murphy was locked in and he countered a flying attack from Carrillo, and with Murphy's Law to pick up the win. I mean, that was an all right match. I mean, I wasn't really impressed with that. After addressing Randy Orton's SummerSlam challenge, Drew McIntyre revealed his stipulation for the rematch with Dolph Ziggler. An Extreme Rules match, this time with the rules applying to both competitors. In a wild bout that saws tables, chairs, and anything else within reach come into play, McIntyre sent Ziggler crashing through a table with a thunderous claymore to get the three count. But before McIntyre could reveal in his victory, Randy Orton made good on his promise that the WWE champion would never see an RKO coming, dropping McIntyre on the spot, upping the ante for their battle at SummerSlam. So that's pretty much Raw. I mean, it was all right. Some parts of it are cool, and some parts of it are kind of boring, you know? So, up next, I'm going to do an Impact. Like I said, I'm not watching Impact, so I'm going to look up the results and let you know what is the results anyway. I'd like to watch it, but I can't. So, with that said, hold on as I look this up. So Impact starts out with Eddie Edwards going on and on. But by the end of it, after his match with Trey Miguel, Eric Young sends a message to Eddie Edwards from the ramp. He's coming for the world title. So let's see. We return to Wrestle House, where Rosemary has invited several members of the Impact Wrestling locker room for a party. This comes after Taya Valkyrie spoiled her John E. Bravo's alone time. Taya Valkyrie wants no part of it, but when she tries to walk out of the front door, she's stopped by a vision of the monster Abyss. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm reading this right now. So Abyss went back to TNA. Right at, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Now, hold on. So this is just saying she stopped by a vision of the Monster Abyss. Since I didn't see it, I don't know if he's really back, but oh, wow. Tommy Dreamer is revealed as the owner and host of Wrestle House. Rosemary says the guest will remain here for as long as it takes. Whatever that means, the Deaners and Triple XL are in a heated argument after Triple XL recently turned on them. Susie insists that they all call a truce. Dreamer reveals that the winner of the Wrestle House will receive $1 million, but Rosemary denies the truth of that statement. Dreamer says that there are only 6 bedrooms in the house, prompting all the competitors to scramble in an attempt to claim a room. AC Romero and Crazy Steve both want to sleep in the ring outside, which leads to a match. Let's see here. What else do we got? Steve insists that both he and AC can share a ring, but AC wants it to himself. As both competitors become fatigued, Steve tries one last time. AC outsmarts him and pretends to go for a handshake as Steve comes closer. AC hits a sit-out full Nelson slam and locks in a chokehold to win. It seems pretty cool, actually. Gia Miller interviews Ace Austin and Madman Fulton about their recent issues with the Good Brothers. Ace says that he's going to be paying very close attention to the Good Brothers' in-ring debut versus Reno Scum. Let's see. The Motor City Machine Guns are your new Impact Tag Team Champions after their huge victory over the North last week. Damn. The North look back on losing the Tag Team Championship to the Motor City Machine Guns last week. Shockingly, Ethan Page is at a loss for words, but Josh Alexander steps up and says they will regain their titles again when they cash in the rematch clause. Katie Forbes gives RVD a preview of the photos she set to reveal to the world later tonight. EC3 reflects on his journey in professional wrestling. He says that he looks in the mirror, he sees failure despite his championship reigns and multiple victories over Hall of Famers. EC3 says that in order to take back his power, he must destroy his past and control his narrative. Johnny Swinger convinces Crazy Steve to room with him after Steve was defeated by AC Romero earlier tonight and lost the opportunity to sleep in the ring. Meanwhile, Cousin Jake is snoring and Cody Deaner can't sleep. Jake wakes himself but thinks that it was Cody snoring that did it. The two argue over who's snoring. Tommy Dreamer announces that it's match time, where the loser will be forced to leave the bedroom. Jesus Christ, I don't know what's going on. It seems like a fucking reality TV show at this point. Cody offers a truce, but it turns into be a trick as quickly rolls up for the two. Cody continues to bend the rules and rake the eyes of the cousin. Jake connects with Running Boot, then decides to give with a strong forearm shot. Cody fights back with an atomic drop. Cody attempts a DDT, but Jake encounters into a huge swinging slam to win. Let's see. More about the Deaners, Sammy Callahan. Or about Katie Forbes tells RVD that Sammy Callahan was creeping on her earlier tonight. RVD tells Callahan that he can look at Katie all he wants, but he must keep his distance. Okay, that's actually pretty cool. I would have liked to have seen that. Let's see. More about Sammy Callahan. Okay, West. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, Josh Matthews and Madison Rain conduct a video interview with Rich Swann after he was brutally attacked by Eric Young at Slammiversary, re-aggravating his knee injury in the process. Swann talks about how soon months of rehab and recovery were thrown out the window when Young snapped on him. Swann says that the doctors are telling him all sorts of things, and he'll be back in Impact Zone next week to elaborate. Finally, the Good Brothers are in control in early going, using their incredible double-team offense to their advantage. Ace Austin appears and sits at the top of the ramp. The distraction allows Reno Scum to turn the tide as Thornstow uses Luster's head as a battering ram. Reno Scum cuts off the ring and wear Anderson down. Anderson gains momentum with a big spine buster to Thornstow, allowing him to make a tag to Gallows. The Good Brothers connect with the Magic Killer on Thornstow to win. Ace Austin makes his way to ringside. Luster the Legend attempts to blindside the Good Brothers, but they take him out. Madman Fulton appears out of nowhere and joins Ace in attacking Gallows and Anderson. They brawl up the ramp to the backstage area. The fight continues outside into the parking lot. Gallows hits Fulton with a big boot, causing him to collide with the cameraman and cut the feed. Impact goes off the air. That's actually an exciting closer, I think. So let's see what else we got. We got AEW. Actually, I didn't even think AEW was really that good. I mean, there was some things that I thought were really good. Tony Schiavone was on the ramp to talk about AEW's next pay-per-view, All Out, until he was interrupted by Chris Jericho in the Inner Circle. Sammy Guevara swore at Matt Hardy for interfering in his match. Jericho said he wasn't finished with Orange Cassidy. He said in 2 weeks it'll be Jericho versus Cassidy, the rematch. But first, on August 5th, he's going to have a debate with Orange with a special guest moderator. Ooh. So, let's see. There's Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, The Dark Order. That was all right, I guess. Let's see here. I mean, by the end of it, Brody Lee sent Colt backstage. He didn't want Colt to witness what was about to happen next. Mr. Brody punished Stu Grayson and Evil Uno, throwing papers at them and publicly humiliating them. "I don't get this. They've wrestled a great match," said Tony Schiavone. "The Young Bucks got into the ring to show strength in numbers and unity." Mr. Brody Lee was furious and shouted on the microphone at Kenny Omega, "Thanks for showing up tonight with a rib. What a rib." Let's see. Dark Order members swarm the ring, attacking Elite members until FTR threw an ice cooler in and even the odds. Dr. Britt Baker said that she was going to give Big Swole a shot at her, but only if she can defeat an opponent of Baker's choice. Oh, you know what I really enjoyed? MJF was out with Wardlow to give his State of the Industry address. He thanked Tony Khan for giving him the opportunity to speak tonight. MJF said a certain individual is afraid of being upstaged by him, a certain individual who knows all about the change of and paradigm shifts. MJF said he's undefeated. Then he compared AEW champ Jon Moxley to a dictator. "My talent overweighs your tenor, Jon Moxley. I'm challenging you for the world title. I will see you at All Out, Jon. We deserve better." That was pretty funny. So that just keeps going. Then Darby and all that stuff, which I didn't care about. Yeah, I mean, AEW, like I said, wasn't all that great as far as I was concerned. So moving to SmackDown, which I think the past few weeks, SmackDown has been the best show, period. Now, there was an opening thing with AJ and all that, but I really didn't give two shits about that. So next up, Jeff Hardy was ready for a moment of redemption, but King Corbin had his own plan and interrupted the heartfelt address to the WWE Universe. Drew Gulak took exception and attacked the Royal Superstar to set up the in-ring showdown. The emergence of Matt Riddle nearly allowed Gulak to swoop in for the win, but Corbin angrily regrouped and landed an end of days to secure the win. The original bro wasted no time in attacking the victor. But Shorty G found a new calling in pursuit of the king's ransom with an attack on the blue brand newcomer. What will come of the unlikely alliance between the former Olympian and regal antagonist? Let's see. More about Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods are both injured. It's Big E's time to shine. And the New Day member didn't ease into his solo run as he faced one of the most accomplished superstars of the last decade in a battle with The Miz. A slap from the A-lister enraged Big E, and he put his opponent on the run without a New Day there to back him up. So John Morris inserted himself into the action with a mind-blowing parkour attack and kick on the ropes. The Guru of Greatness was ejected from the exterior and the odds moved back into Big E's favor. Big E showed off his abilities by ending the match with a crushing submission. Hold on, The Miz, even solo. It remains clear, Big E rocks. Then it gets into the whole Lacey Evans and Naomi thing, which, I'm not even going to talk about that. And then, this was good. Nikki Cross put her relationship with Alexa Bliss on the line for one more rematch with Bayley. And after the conclusion of the latest title showdown, that partnership may be shattered for good. Cross's crazed approach once again had her on the offensive early, and it appeared that the elusive title victory may finally be within reach after a roll-up attempt from the challenger. Bayley planted Cross face first into the mat and retained the title. Bliss tried to console her friend, but Cross was crushed after the latest defeat and shoved 5 feet of fury to the mat. A confused Bliss was left alone in the middle of the ring. That is until the Fiend Bray Wyatt emerged, hovering over the superstar in distress, and the demonic figure delivered a mandible claw to the stunned Bliss. I mean, that was cool. That was probably one of the best closing segments I've seen in WWE SmackDown history. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm not going to get into NXT because I thumbed through it tonight, and the only thing that was even remotely interesting was Corey Grimes comes out while Keith Lee is basically saying yada, yada, yada. Boom, out comes Corey Grimes. He's like, yada, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden, they kind of fight, and he kind of gets Trevor Lee into a fucking thing there. And that's when Karrion Kross comes on the screen and delivers some sort of weird promo. And then the rest of the show, I mean, I just didn't really, wasn't into it. But that's wrestling. Let's take one more pause for the cause, and then come back with our closing segment.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
I said excuse me!
Oh, there.
I have something to say! Excuse me!
Tonight.
Excuse me! Excuse me! Excuse me!
Oh,
excuse
me! Excuse
me! Excuse me! I said excuse me!
Show.
Excuse me!
This match. Who cares? Be quiet!
Excuse me! Excuse me! Excuse me!
The show.
Excuse me!
Oh.
Excuse me! I said excuse me! Excuse me! Excuse me! Excuse me! Excuse me!
So this is Greg Golden from the Greg Golden Band, Bizarre Guitar, in Reno, Nevada, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Those guys rock.
This is the bridge burner, Greg Romero, and you're listening to Cosmic Chris and the Rockin' Wrestling Local 420 podcast. Check it out.
Hey, we are back. So we've reached another end of this episode. So I want to thank you all for returning and listening to this week's episode. And hopefully you'll be bearing with us for the next few weeks, like I said, as we go through changes. So I'm just trying to make this podcast better and better for you guys and your listening pleasure. And, yeah, let's see. Let's take a quick bong hit real quick. Thank you. Oh, jeez. So, I want to be sure and thank everyone with helping. Thank Tony Karolik and Kevin Ryan, my editors and producers. And thank Z Dude for helping me with my YouTube page. And also thank Brian Zane, the Z-Man, really good friend and friend of the podcast and the shows, for inspiring me to get my own show going. So make sure you check out his show, Wrestling with Regret. And let's see, you can find us anywhere you can find a podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, etc., etc. You can email us, rockandwrestlinglocal420@gmail.com. You can find us on facebook.com/rockandwrestlinglocal420. You can follow us on the Twitter at Punchin' Baby Yoda with no G. And then you can find us with the G, Punchin' Baby Yoda on Instagram, which I am really now kind of more on. Like, not a more, okay, I said more on. That was kind of a weird one. I am more involved with Instagram lately. So, yeah, check us out on Instagram at Punchin' Baby Yoda. And, yeah, you know, like I said, check us out anywhere. We're on iTunes, or I don't know after this next week if we'll still be on iTunes. So, all right, I'll see you guys next week. Talk to you later.